provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant posts on LinkedIn about account-based marketing in CW 16 and 17. Frenis is a B2B market research company working with enterprises to optimize their campaigns with research-grade account profiling and insights. You can find more info in the description. Welcome to the deep dive. Imagine for a second spending 3 entire years engineering 27 distinct, highly relevant touch points just to win a single client account. Today, we're looking at why standard B2B marketing is, well, completely dead, and why programming the buyer's GPS so that you're the only logical destination is the only way to survive the new account-based marketing reality.
Yeah, it is a brutal reality check for a lot of companies right now. And for this deep dive, we are unpacking the absolute sharpest, zero-fluff insights curated directly from B2B marketing professionals who are sharing what actually works on LinkedIn during calendar week 16 and 17.
Right.
We are stripping away all that high-level theory, you know, just looking strictly at what practitioners are actually deploying in the field to win massive enterprise deals.
And if you're listening to this, you likely already know the basics of ABM. You know it means targeting specific high-value accounts, rather than just, you know, casting a wide net.
Exactly.
But looking at the recent conversations driven by Tom Barnes and Nancy Carlisle Harlan, it becomes incredibly clear that most of what the industry calls ABM is actually a lie.
Oh, completely.
Like, if you are just taking a list of target companies, uploading that CSV file to LinkedIn and hitting them with sponsored ads,
you're not doing account-based marketing.
Right. You're just doing targeted demand generation.
Which is a fundamental distinction that, honestly, way too many leadership teams just misunderstand. What Tom and Nancy are pointing out is that true ABM is not some marketing campaign you just bolt onto the side of your existing strategy.
Yeah, definitely not.
It is an entire go-to-market motion. It dictates resource allocation. It dictates how sales reps spend their mornings. And it fundamentally changes how you measure a quote-unquote win. When you treat it like just another digital marketing campaign, it stays completely isolated within the marketing department.
And when it stays isolated, I mean, it just burns through budget at an astonishing rate.
Mm.
Svetlana Likareva had a brilliant post highlighting exactly this. She noted that the absolute most expensive thing in B2B isn't software or ad spend.
No, it's misaligned teams.
Exactly. If you have marketing pushing display ads to one set of accounts, while sales is cold calling a completely different list of accounts because, you know, they have their own quotas to hit.
Right.
Adding expensive intent data technology on top of that, dysfunction doesn't scale revenue. It just scales waste.
It scales waste because the two departments are essentially operating on different clocks. I mean, marketing is usually looking at a 9 to 12 month pipeline build,
right,
nurturing long-term brand equity.
Right.
But sales is looking at a 90-day quarterly quota. If you do not reconcile those two timelines, the engine just completely seizes up.
I hear that. And like, alignment sounds great in a boardroom, but I have to push back on how realistic this actually is.
Bravo.
Fair enough.
If you've got sales compensated entirely on closing deals this quarter, how do you actually force them to slow down and run a synchronized play with marketing? Because you can't just ask nicely.
You can't. You really can't. And Marcus Stahlberg provided this ruthlessly simple diagnostic to test if you've actually solved this.
Oh, what was that?
He said, if your sales team cannot explain the company's ABM strategy in 30 seconds or less, you don't actually have an ABM strategy.
Wow.
Yeah, you have a marketing science project.
That is the perfect litmus test. Because the reality is, sales won't be able to explain it if they're still being compensated to chase raw leads rather than penetrate strategic accounts.
Exactly.
Like, if your CRM is still optimized for marketing qualified leads and your reps get bonuses for call volume rather than, you know, initiating a strategic conversation with a multi-threaded enterprise account, why would they ever change their behavior?
They won't. Which gets to the systemic failure Aaron Carpenter highlighted perfectly. He noted that most ABM programs collapse before they even launch.
Because they buy the tech first.
Right. Marketing teams buy a shiny new platform, build a massive slide deck, and roll it out without ever doing the brutal internal selling required. You have to sit down with the VP of sales and literally restructure the dashboard metrics and the commission structures to reward ABM behaviors over cold outbound spam.
So, step one, you buy your VP of sales lunch, you fix the compensation structure, and you lock in that alignment.
Yeah.
But once you have a highly lethal unified team, they actually need a target.
Which leads us directly into how practitioners are fundamentally rethinking account selection and segmentation.
Right, because alignment is completely useless if you're both running a perfectly synchronized sprint in the wrong direction.
Exactly. And this is where Luca Senatore's concept of the Dream 50 comes into play. We need to move past that cliche of fishing with a spear instead of a net. Luca is talking about building a list of just 50 companies.
Just 50. Right. Not a massive total addressable market of 10,000 logos, but 50 specific companies you would absolutely bleed to win. He cited the Moms and Papas account as his prime example.
And that's the one that took 27 highly relevant touch points, right?
Yeah.
Spread over 3 entire years to finally close.
And the mechanism behind that 3-year cycle is what Luca calls engineering inevitability. It is not about capturing a quick click on a white paper. It is about shifting the market's perception so methodically that by the time the target company actually releases a brief or an RFP, you are the only logical choice. You have essentially been silently consulting them, shaping their worldview for years.
That concept of engineering inevitability is incredibly powerful. But let's look at the survival mechanics of a modern marketing leader for a second.
Okay.
If you walk into your CFO's office and say, hey, I need half our budget for a strategy that will pay off in exactly 3 years, you are going to get fired.
Oh, absolutely. Handed a cardboard box immediately.
Right. So how do you actually prove the model works before the CFO pulls the plug at month 6?
That is the ultimate pragmatic hurdle. And Mason Cosby addressed it directly with a brilliant survival tactic. He argues that you absolutely cannot start a new ABM program on cold accounts.
Okay, so where do you start?
Well, if you want to survive long enough to hunt the Dream 50, you have to start with accounts that already have deep context.
Meaning accounts that already know exactly who you are.
Yes. You go to close loss deals where the timing was just wrong, but the relationship was good. You go to your active pipeline where marketing can apply ABM tactics to accelerate the deal velocity.
Oh, that makes sense.
Or you go to current clients who are ripe for cross-selling and expansion. You prove the model's ROI, you get the quick wins on the board, and you use that revenue to buy yourself the runway to go after the cold multi-year targets.
It's purely about funding your own survival.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you do have that runway, how do you pick those cold targets without just guessing? Jay Gorga shared an interview with Fabiana Carpio Brunetti at NetApp that completely flips the standard targeting playbook on its head.
And the standard playbook is usually someone picks a revenue goal, they scrape a massive firmographic list based on company size and industry, they ask sales for a wish list, and they tell marketing to go activate.
Yeah, it's entirely subjective.
Exactly. But Fabiana's approach at NetApp is strictly data first.
Right. They completely refuse to be a lead factory, choosing instead to be a growth multiplier. Instead of guessing, they look at pipeline momentum and propensity data.
Mm-hmm.
They look for companies showing mathematical signs of motion in the market, build the target list purely from those quantitative signals, and then take it to the sales team to validate.
And when you combine that level of data-first targeting with hyper-specific segmentation, the results are just staggering. Kerry Kokokoglu shared a playbook where he built a Fortune 500 ABM program from $0 to $2.5 million in qualified pipeline in just 8 months.
Wow. The mechanics of Kerry's success are fascinating because it wasn't just about grouping accounts by industry. They used a tiering model, but they split their intent clusters based on the exact keyword phrases the buying committee was researching.
Right.
So if one cluster of accounts was searching for CSAT improvement, meaning they're actively researching how to boost their customer satisfaction scores, they receive a completely different messaging track than accounts searching for cost reduction.
Because by aligning the messaging strictly to the explicit pain point the account was already researching, they weren't just personalizing the company name in an email. Right. They were personalizing the business case. And that instantly doubled their conversion rates.
But the most counterintuitive move Kerry made to get those numbers, he completely ungated all of their top-of-funnel content.
Which is terrifying for traditional demand gen marketers because you lose that immediate email capture.
Exactly. But let's look at why ungating works so well in an ABM context. By removing the friction of a mandatory form fill, buyers can consume 3, 4, or 5 heavy pieces of your content in a single session.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That frictionless binge reading behavior is actually a far stronger mathematical indicator of true buying intent than someone reluctantly giving you a fake email address just to download one PDF. Ungating their content increased their reach by 70% simply because they stopped treating their own best insights like hostages.
And that binge reading behavior is the perfect bridge into how practitioners are fundamentally rethinking the way we read buying signals. Because you have your aligned team and you have your highly segmented target list. But the hardest variable in enterprise sales is timing.
Yeah, timing is everything.
Brendan Redlinger argued recently that traditional ABM relying on static lists and basic intent data is entirely broken.
He noted that signal-based go-to-market is the winning formula now. It requires personalization, relevance, and absolute perfect timing. But nailing that timing is incredibly difficult because of where the most valuable signals actually live. Steve Armenti introduced a concept that should be a massive wake-up call for anyone relying on standard marketing software, and that is dark signals.
It's a critical concept. Traditional intent data, like tracking an IP address that visits your pricing page or downloads a syndicated white paper that only captures about 40% of the actual buying motion.
Right.
The other 60% happens completely in the dark.
Well, let me put an analogy to this, because dark signals sounds a bit like a buzzword until you look at the mechanics. Relying only on traditional intent data is like relying on a highway billboard to know where a car is driving.
Okay, I like this.
A website visit just tells you they drove past your billboard. A dark signal is like tapping directly into the car's GPS. A dark signal is when an executive at your target account complains about their current vendor in a private Slack channel, or asks for software recommendations in a niche Reddit forum, or engages deeply with your competitor's content on LinkedIn.
That analogy highlights the core difference perfectly, because traditional signals show interest. Dark signals show urgency.
Huge difference.
A website visit means they are casually researching a category. Complaining in a peer-to-peer community means they are frustrated, actively evaluating alternatives, and ready to buy right now. If you miss the dark signals, you miss the urgency.
And we miss them because too many teams are still waiting for buyers to come to us and fill out a contact us form. Julie Dore pointed out the reality of modern procurement.
The technical lead is in one room reading your API documentation, the CFO is in another room reading case studies on ROI, and the end user is watching product demos on YouTube. You cannot look at a single lead's activity anymore. You have to zoom out and analyze the entire group's research patterns across different topic clusters to see if an internal consensus is actually forming.
Which makes mapping your content to those specific stages absolutely critical. Om Prakash Kurupanen issued a great warning here. Clicks do not equal pipeline.
Yes.
If you detect a dark signal that an account is vendor unaware, meaning they know they have a problem, but they don't even know your company exists, and you send them a dense 15-page implementation guide, you look desperate and completely out of touch.
Conversely, if the account is deep in the weeds, building a granular business case for their finance team, and you send them a high-level, fluffy thought leadership piece about the future of B2B, you actively destroy your internal champion's credibility with their boss.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You have to precisely match the asset to the micro stage of the buying committee.
So how do you navigate that early stage gracefully when you know they're researching, but they haven't raised their hand? Andrei Zinkovich shared a brilliant tactic his team uses called account love letters.
Oh, this is a masterclass in human psychology. Instead of sending a cold pitch, his team uses their account research to write highly thoughtful LinkedIn posts that publicly feature their target accounts. They will highlight a recent strategic move the company made, praise a brilliant new executive hire, or break down why their recent funding round was so smart.
It completely flips the dynamic. You are initiating a dialogue and creating natural awareness by celebrating their success in public. Human reciprocity kicks in, their executives naturally comment and engage with the post, and you've started a relationship without ever sending a self-serving pitch.
But we have to pause and look at the sheer operational weight of everything we've just discussed.
Oh yeah, it's a lot.
Tracking dark signals in private Slack communities, mapping the topic clusters of a 7-person buying committee, writing custom public love letters for 50 different accounts. The natural question for any stressed marketing leader is, why can't I just use AI to do all of this for me?
And the short, terrifying answer is that AI can do an alarming amount of it. Jan Rasmussen ran a wild experiment recently using Claude Code that proves exactly how fast this technology is moving. Let's walk through the mechanics of what he actually built.
Okay, so in a single session, he prompted the AI to define a highly specific market segment. The AI then autonomously discovered over 300 target companies that fit the criteria.
And here's where the magic trick happens. Instead of relying on rigid CRM rules, he had the AI write a custom Python scoring script.
Wow.
Yeah. This script dynamically weighted variables like recent hiring surges or specific tech stack deployments to aggressively tier those 300 companies. The AI then enriched all the contact data through third-party providers and pushed a fully prioritized, scored pipeline directly into his CRM.
From a completely blank slate to a fully scored enterprise hit list in one sitting, the sheer velocity of that workflow is just incredible.
It's a superpower, but it is also a massive hazard if used incorrectly. Vinita Makija immediately raised a crucial red flag about this exact capability. She argued that most ABM teams do not actually have an AI problem, they have a sequence problem.
By sequence problem, she means teams are skipping the foundational work. They haven't fixed their sales alignment, they haven't refined their core messaging, and they haven't built a unique point of view.
Right.
They just take their broken, generic marketing strategy and plug it into a hyper-fast AI engine.
Exactly. If your value proposition is weak, feeding it into a Python script doesn't generate more pipeline, it just weaponizes your bad marketing.
Yeah.
You generate spam faster, and you burn through your entire total addressable market in a fraction of the time it used to take.
Enoch Pacinotti took this a step further, pointing out the ultimate limitation of the technology. He noted that AI is brilliant at automating outbound logistics, but it cannot automate an actual experience. He advocates for shifting our mindset from account-based marketing to account-based experience, ABX.
That is the defining line. You can automate a Python scoring script, but you absolutely cannot automate an intimate CXO dinner.
Definitely not.
You cannot automate a peer-to-peer roundtable where buyers build genuine trust with each other. You cannot automate a collaborative podcast where you invite a target account to co-create content with you. AI can do the digital spray, but it cannot deliver the high-touch human experience where enterprise deals are actually closed.
So if AI shouldn't be used to just spam people faster and it can't run a dinner party, what is its actual strategic role? Jalisha Noskova gave us the defining framework for this when she introduced the concept of context debt.
Context debt. Unpack the mechanics of that for us, because it perfectly describes the daily friction every BDR faces.
Context debt is the gap between a system capturing a signal, say, an executive asking a question in a Reddit forum, and a human being having the complete nuanced picture required to act on it intelligently.
Okay.
Historically, a BDR would see an intense spike, and then they would have to spend 2 hours researching the company's recent press releases, hunting down the right stakeholders on LinkedIn, and trying to draft a relevant email.
And by the time they finish that 2-hour research project, the buyer has already solved the problem or signed with a competitor. The window of opportunity simply closes.
Precisely. Isaiah Viscocho from Glean pointed out that modern AI agents are now solving this exact problem. They are moving way beyond basic data scraping. They instantly synthesize disparate dark signals into person-level context.
So instead of just handing a sales rep a raw alert that says, account X visited the website, the AI pays off the context debt instantly. It hands the rep a unified brief. Here's the dark signal. Here's the exact person who triggered it. Here is how their research ties to their company's Q3 earnings report. And here is the exact strategic play you should run right now. It completely closes the gap between the raw data point and the intelligent human action.
Which clears the operational debris so the human can focus entirely on executing the account-based experience Enoch talked about. You spend zero time researching and all your time building the relationship.
If we look at the entire arc of the insight shared in calendar weeks 16 and 17 from Tom Barnes and Svetlana Likareva demanding structural alignment to Luca Senator and Kerry Kokokoglu insisting on data-first precision and keyword clusters, all the way to using AI to instantly clear context debt, it is clear that ABM is no longer just a targeted ad campaign.
No, not at all.
It requires a level of organizational orchestration that fundamentally changes how a company operates.
And that reality leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to mull over. As AI continues to instantly bridge the gap between complex dark signals and personalized action, and as B2B buying committees become entirely consensus-driven, will we even need the term account-based marketing in 5 years? If this level of precision, alignment, and signal reading becomes the absolute baseline requirement just to survive in the market, it won't be a special tactic called ABM anymore. It will simply be the standard definition of how B2B marketing works.
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on field marketing, channel and partner marketing, AI and B2B, MarTech, go-to-market, and social selling. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the realities of modern B2B growth. Take a second to hit subscribe, share these insights with your VP of sales, and we will catch you next time.